have you here on this. Am I really loud? Yes, Marshall, can I? Or just shut me off. That's what they said. How are we now? We okay? All right. If it's hurting my ears up here, I know you're in trouble out there. So I just want to make sure we're okay. It's great to have you here on this beginning of June as we begin summer, because June kind of feels like summer. No matter what the calendar says, when June comes, I figure summer is around. And it's great to have yesterday and today those blessings of the wonderful weather we've had. I'd also like to share this morning just to give a thank you. Yesterday, there were a number of trustees and others. Are the trustees here? Would you stand up, Jim? Daryl? And who else was here yesterday? I know the Roaches. Would you stand up? But he's a trustee, so... very good. And Shirley? Come on, come on. There they are. Okay, you can have a seat. A number of us came yesterday to work on the building. The trustees are the ones that kind of organize that and make sure the building is in good repair for all the stuff not only we do as a church, but also for the numerous scout groups that are here, the three support groups, AA, Naranon, TOPS, the sewing groups that we have, the election thing that goes on here, the blood drive, all those things that we do, they make sure the building is in good repair for that. So we want to thank them for that. And some of them, I think, are coming to the second service. Also, you need to know they're a very brave group. They're the ones that allowed their pastor to go up on the roof of this church and to start working with quick-set cement. And not all trustees will let their pastor work 3 hours in the slaving hot sun. So you have a special group of trustees that are here, so you need to keep an eye on them is what you need to do. Also, I'd like to thank Bruce last week. He gave us our message, Bruce Bedingfield, one of our lay speakers, and talked about the issue of worry in our life, how we ought not to let worry control us and get the best of us. And I know it was a wonderful and a powerful message for you. So a thanks to him as we had the time to take the week off. Today, we have two wonderful and powerful readings, some that all of us know probably, if some even could say by heart. We have that wonderful one from Ecclesiastes where he tells us, you know, there's a time for everything. And for those of us who remember the birds, remember that group? The song that came out about that, that's how most of us know that. But the wonderful wisdom that comes from Scripture that we hear in Ecclesiastes, that there is a time for everything. And we hear that wonderful, awesome list. But also we hear in that list one thing that said, you know, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Usually when we think about that, we love that first part, don't we? There's a time to be born. We love when in our family, either our immediate family or our extended family, or nieces or nephews or great-grandchildren. You know, when we have children, we can't wait to announce it, right? There's something about having a birth in our family. And the child itself, there's something about that first smile. There's something about that first mess in the dirty diaper. Oh, isn't that cute? At the 2002 mess, it's not so cute anymore. It's something about that first step, that first smile, that giggle. You know, it's something about that first laugh and the kind of giddiness that happens to a young baby when they learn how to smile. It's a wonderful and awesome thing. It gives us joy, and it is a natural thing. And so we love those times of birth. And yet the wisdom tells us, though, there's a time for birth and there's a time for death. And we don't care for that so much. And obviously we know, for good reason. It takes people from us whom we love dearly. And it makes life difficult at times, does it not? Last week, we celebrated Memorial Day. We remembered a number of things. I know at the beginning of Bruce's service, he talked about the servicemen and women who we need to continue to remember, especially those that we have lost in service to our country, especially those we have lost in the current conflict in Iraq and Afghanistan. Sometimes we tend to forget too easily those who do give their lives. And we need to remember as a sense of respect and honor, but also to inform us about being citizens within our great nation and our great democracy. So it's a wonderful and a thing that we can do that, and I hope you had a chance to do that. But for many of us, if you were like me as a child, Memorial Day was a day we got in the car, we put flowers in the trunk, we got water from the pump way down the hill on the cemetery, and we planted those flowers and watered those flowers of people I never knew, and sometimes who my mother and father never knew. But they kept putting those flowers there because it was important to remember. As we think about death today, and as I want to talk about Memorial Day, as we think about those and the memories of those who we have lost, for some of us today, the memories of loved ones we have lost are from long ago. Deaths happened a while ago. For others of us here this day, Those memories are fresh and very near and very recent. And there is different. There's a differentness then to that. For some, as we think about death that has happened, losses that we have had, some had the fullness of life, long years full of love and joy, and some were tragically cut short. Some we have lost. There are times of passing where those lives had that time to touch other people's lives and to be involved in things and to make contributions and to do things in our world. And there are others where we say, whether we have experienced them ourselves or we're here within the world, in the world, that, you know, what a loss. What a loss. Those are real things. And we want to bring the gospel teaching. We want to bring the faith of Christ. We want to bring the love of God into all that we do. And I didn't necessarily enjoy doing this one today, but we got to do it. We got to do it. As we meet this weekend, and as we celebrate Memorial Day last weekend, sometimes there is, for me as well as probably all of you, there is a desire just to get past it, you know? Let's just go get past it and get over it. Not let it touch our lives in any way. In some ways, we need to do that. We need to step past things and move on with our life, not to be held back by life's losses, because I have known people like that who have losses and are held back so much they cannot live into the future because they are remembering into the past. And it's important, even though it's important to remember, that we know that there, as we mourn and remember, that we can mourn in a way that allows us to honor, but to let go. I have known people in ministry who have had times of pain, hurt, and anger. And those times of pain, hurt, and anger have become traveling companions for them. Not something they do on occasion when they need to do. But traveling companions and part of their lives and part of their structure. And so sometimes I think I have known people that don't feel right unless they feel bad. And that's not good. That's not good. It's not good to have to feel bad so we can feel right. It's not bad to feel bad. No, we ought to. But also, even with losses in our life, we ought to know and remember and be able to live in ways of love. And yes, even joy. Even joy. Yet I think, as I have thought about it this week a lot in the past year, as I have thought about the issues of letting go and the issues of death in our life and the power of God's grace and love, I often think it is not the issue of us holding on to things too much. In our culture, it isn't dwelling on that which we mourn about, but it's letting go really quick of things we need to deal with. We live in a culture where there was a wonderful, well, no, not wonderful. We live in a culture where there was an awful popular song not 5-10 years ago, "Don't Worry." How do you know that? There are times, yes, when we do hold on to difficulty and pain too much, and we need to learn how to let go of that. But so often our culture and those around us and those we know and the very things that we do say, "Don't worry, be happy, let it go." You know, think positive. And yeah, there is that. There is that sense of hope. But yet, to not acknowledge mourning and difficulty and death and struggle is just ridiculous. So we should not let the culture co-opt who we are, but to bring the resources of love and grace and faith to bear on the difficulties that we have in our life. In the gospel lesson today, Jesus gives a sermon on the mount. And we love the poetry of that. We love the awesome teaching of that. We conceptualize it in visuals as we saw on the screen. We love to see it in a movie. You know how the movie, it's all set out, the sun's setting, and it's a beautiful thing. And sometimes just the poetry, though, we get caught in the poetry and say, you know, it's nice, inspiring stuff, but we don't take it serious that it's real teaching, because it is. And Jesus tells us, those who mourn, blessed are those who mourn. And if you're really serious looking at that, you have to say, what? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we know the importance of being comforted, but what's that blessing about? Where are their blessings in the difficulties that we have? And sometimes we move past that and don't give Jesus' teaching enough thought and enough, we give up on Jesus' teaching way too soon and not think about what that means for us. So what's blessing? What is blessing? We know it's blessing to be comforted, yes. That is true. But how is there blessing when we mourn? As you heard at the beginning of the service, there was a memorial given on behalf of my brother for the music that we do at Ember Days. And my brother was an out-of-his-head rock and roll freak back in the 70s. And I have to admit, I wasn't there either. But to honor his memory with the kind of music that we're trying to touch people's lives with our Ember Days band, with our 633 service, I thought that was a fitting memorial for him, even though it isn't a concrete thing that we have, that we can remember him because that's what it was. And I wonder if he'd have had that kind of rock and roll music with Christ in it instead of that other stuff, if maybe it might have touched his life. And as I think about him, there's difficulty. For those of you who are new, he died last September at the age of 47 from a complication with alcohol, with an addiction that he had. And to remember is painful and even makes me angry. And even makes me angry at him. And we all live with that sometimes, you know? So there's difficulty in that. There's mourning in that. There's anger in that. And yet, in these past 6 or 7 months, I begin to remember also the vacations that we had as kids, the trouble we got into with our parents. I remember the hunting trips that we went on and how he always made fun of me. He was very good at hunting. He could hit things, and you know, the rabbits just thumbed their noses at me. And he always reminded me I couldn't shoot very well. But I especially remember the fishing trips that we took, especially some to Canada. When we had moments in a boat, just early morning, him and me, because Dad hadn't got up so early. But to remember those, and remember the jokes we had, and remember ribbing each other, who got the best fish and why, who lost what and why. And as I think about those are blessings. Those are blessings. And I need to continue to remember that. Because that strengthens me in the ways of grace. Those are blessings. I do know the anger and the resentment and the mourning will come back. It doesn't go away, I don't think. For you, maybe it does. And the more it does, probably the better. But the blessings of those memories are a real gift. And I want to be able to touch those and acknowledge those with him and with mom and with dad as much as I can and not lose track of the blessings that are there. The possibility of having that is a wonderful and an awesome thing that God has given us. To remember into the past to receive that blessing of love and grace. But secondly, it's not just about remembering in the past. There is a blessing in that when we remember those things and we are given the gifts from God. We cry and we laugh and we smile all at the same time sometimes with those memories. But also, there is a blessing in terms of living into the future, because what does mourning and death do but draw us together? Have you not heard at a funeral or other times, you know, isn't it a shame that the only time we get together is when? And I don't think so. I think that's blessing. I think that's gift. Don't talk about it as shame. Talk about it as gift. Because God uses those opportunities to bring the weirdest groups together, the most contentious people together, can bring them together and perhaps grow love and grace in the midst of them. So let's not be shameful about it. But maybe let's use it as blessing. Because it brings the weirdest groups together. It will. And allow God to work. When I was a student pastor, I worked at Hemingway United Methodist Church in Evanston, Illinois. If you know, y'all who are around here probably know Evanston. It's a pretty diverse town. It was just, the church was like a half, a quarter of a mile north of Chicago. You know, we were a real diverse community. I worked with Jim Newman, who was the senior pastor, a seasoned city pastor. He taught me a lot, but also he taught me how to do funerals. He sat me down and said, here's how you do a funeral. We went through it. And then when he had a funeral, he'd always say, do you want to get in on this? It's like an investment, right? You know, it's a stock option. Yeah, Jim, do you want to get in on this? And, you know, being that he was my supervisor and he evaluated me, I'd always said, yes, I want to get in on this. We did one kind of a normal community funeral, somebody that he didn't know. The funeral director called and asked. And we did a tragic funeral that was really different, just a tragic shooting that happened in Chicago. And I learned how to do, you know, I began to learn how to do this. And then Jim got really sick. He got sick from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that he'd had for years. And he had to step out for a while, and eventually he passed away while I was there. But when he stepped out, the conference hadn't appointed another pastor. So yours truly is there by himself. Not only doing that, but working at the university and also going to the seminary at the same time. So local funeral director would, when he had a community funeral to do, there was no pastor, no church connection, he would call Jim. And so he would call me. And so I did one community funeral that went okay. You know, you just don't, it's hard, you got to learn, just like you'd have to learn everything else. I did one community funeral that was okay, and then I got another call from the funeral director, said, would you do a funeral? And that's what we did at the church, so I said, yes. And I said, well, I would like to meet with the family, as we always do. And he said, well, there's some people coming in, you know, a couple days. He didn't say family, he just said some people coming in a few days. And so I said, and he said, if you want to come right after I meet with them, you can. And I said, okay, I can do that. And so I got all the stuff together, tried to remember how Jim taught me how to do it. And, you know, he taught me how to do a pretty traditional Protestant conservative funeral. That's what you do. You read the words, you say, you talk about Christ. You know, the new life is in that. Pretty traditional Protestant Christian conservative funeral. That's what I did. That's what I was trained to do. So I show up at the funeral home. I went to the funeral director's office and I said, you know, there's a family here. And he said, well, there's some people here. And you meet with them and they're out there. So I walked out in the little parlor area. And there are three people, a woman and two men. I shake the hand of the woman, and she gave me her name. She was the niece of the woman who had passed away. And she wasn't the direct descendant. She was the niece of actually the woman's husband who died a number of years ago. And her husband had been Jewish. And so she was dressed in mourning black from throat to the skirt right below the knee, right? And the short heels that are all black. She's dressed in mourning black, and she says, you know, I appreciate you coming, but we're Reformed Jew. So I'm thinking, Protestant, Christian, conservative funeral. Okay. We'll see how this goes. I shook her hands. I turned to the two men beside her. And they were dressed, you know, very respectfully, but not in mourning black. And they informed me they were two gay men. And they didn't know each other. But they had lived in the same condominium complex as this woman. And the one was just broke up deeply about what was happening. You could tell. And he said, she was like a mother to us. And so I, you know, I'm thinking, Protestant, Christian, funeral, right? And so I sit down, and they sit down in different corners. I'm thinking, Lord, you got one heck of a sense of humor. you know, Jim, get off your bed. You're coming to do this one. So what do you do at a time like that? And so I just pretended like I knew what I was doing. I did exactly what Jim taught me. Ask him about them. Tell him what you're going to do. I told the Jewish woman, you know, I do a Christian funeral. That's who I am. That's what I'm. And she was fine with that. No problem with that. And so I went back and sat in the office and I put together a traditional conservative Protestant Christian funeral. I went, but I did say. I talked about the love of God, but I did say. You know, we find that love of God when we go to Sunday school, but also when we go to synagogue. That's about all I said. And I talked about what it means to be loved by those who aren't family but can become our mother. As I had a number of gay men, not just that one, but a number of gay men couples that were there. So I talked about that and told the stories, did the conservative stuff, prayed something good would happen, and God showed up. And God showed up. And two things I remember well out of that. This Reform Jewish woman dressed in black came to me and said, you know, you picked the right vocation. I mean, you know, she must have been on psychotics. That's all I'm thinking. How could she think that? But somehow, just to do what you're taught to do. The second thing, though, that I remember is this community of gay men and this conservative, reformed Jewish group, they came together. They shook hands. They hugged. And there was blessing of community that happened. They told stories about this woman, you know, that had loved these men so much, men whose families had turned them away sometimes, and how this Reform, you know, Jewish woman respected this other woman so much, how that funeral came together. And I'm telling you, I've rarely seen a blessing so strong in a funeral. Blessing, from mourning to blessing, from crying to laughing. It can be, and it can be blessing. In the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul talks about communion, he says we are to remember the body and the blood of Christ. You are to remember what we're about to do today. The Greek word for remember isn't just what we know. The Greek word is anamnesis, which I'm sure all of you know what that means. But the Greek word means just not to think about in your head, but to remember is to know and to be part of the one that we are thinking about. To remember is to know and to live in the moment that you remember and receive the gift. To live in the moment and to be part of what God and what Christ is doing. So this morning as we receive bread and as we receive cup, remember. We are part of a great story of grace and faith that will give us blessing in our memory, that will give us blessing in our community, that will bless us in ways of love and grace so that we can live fully in joy and walk forth in joy and share that with others that need it in this world. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the many gifts and memories you have given us this day. We thank you for those who have passed away that are a blessing to us as we remember. But also we thank you for the gift of community. That as we have loss and struggle and brokenness in our life, you draw us together. Even in the weirdest ways, you draw us together. So Lord, help us give ourselves to the blessings this day, to the blessings of the memory that have been gifts to us, to the blessings of the community that surround us, that we not forget those, but that we are strengthened by the memories of the joys we have had, and we are strengthened by our families, our friends, and our church, and that we not let go of that, but that we grow stronger in ways of grace. In Christ's name we pray.